I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening to all listeners. We thank God for another Saturday, and we have a new month, and it's always a privilege to come your way. We thank God for the gift of life. So August, see, and it's like, seriously, the year is moving. It's as if last watch night, 31st December, New Year, it's just as if last week. The memory is just too strong. But, well, things are moving very fast. Anyway, so we have August. We thank God. 8th month, first Saturday. So, welcome to this evening's edition of Issues of Life. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. And we are discussing some things, looking at some of the things in the news, international news, events happening, Olympic Games and all that. And the need to pray, the times we are in. August is going to be, we are going to start seeing some, you know, if you look at the news, we'll be talking about the Middle East issues and all that. There's a reason and a good reason why we should be talking about prayer in the times we are in. So this edition is mainly on prayer, because it's important we address it, talk about it for this nation and all that. So first, let's get into some of the news. Greetings to listeners all over the world. There's one listener who is in Israel this week. We communicated. It's quite interesting. I mean, worrying and interesting being in such a place where, you know, tension of war and all that. And I don't know whether, okay, see, I think there was one message you sent me, maybe if I locate it I can play it. But you know, he was saying one of his colleagues who is a Jew was addressing, discussing the war, the threat of, you know, Iran and all that, and he was saying there's God who can protect them, and that's the truth. It's only God. I mean, that's the, because the way the whole thing is going, well, we'll get there, we'll talk about it. So let's get into the news, and let's start with the Olympic Games. That's what is the controversies seem to be unending. You know, after they did the opening ceremony, the Last Supper, insulting, blasphemous Last Supper, showing, you know, transgender and this whole people celebrating, quote unquote, celebrating the Last Supper as an insult to Christians. And you know, the irony of this whole thing is they are not even sorry about it. All the bashing and all that from various quarters and all, they are not sorry about it. The supposed apology from the PRO or whatever, I mean, it just didn't mean anything, because the lead actress or actor, whatever, I mean, the one who portrayed supposed Christ, that blasphemous thing, I mean, he's not even sorry about it, saying they are not going anywhere. You know, so, you see, this whole thing was intentional. They knew what they were doing, and it was intentional. And that's the world we are in. But you see, these international events are very symbolic in carrying messages to the world, because it's one way to get the whole world's attention. So if you want to send a message, they've used it in various World Cup, opening ceremony, closing ceremony, Olympic Games, opening, closing. There are a lot of symbolism in these major international events as a way of conveying I mean, coded messaging, you know, to the world. And, you know, so this whole transgender thing at the Olympic Games is a clear indication of, you know, we are moving into that season of they pushing the agenda even harder and stronger. Because this two news items I'm starting with. Second Olympic boxer who failed gender test dominates female fighter in Paris. And just this evening before I came, I saw, I mean, the Algerian, I'll call him a man. He's a man who is beating women in the ring and he's happy. And it's like, you ask yourself, where is common sense in the world now? And the annoying thing, I just saw the news this evening, the second news item, the headline says, the IOC president, the National Olympic Committee president, labels scrutiny about two Olympic boxers who failed gender test as hate speech. So with all the people saying it is wrong for men to be beating women in the ring, he says it's hate speech. And you ask yourself, where is common sense when it's needed most? But you see, this is all the agenda. Intentionally, they allow these two boxers, knowing very well that they don't qualify to be in these games because they failed their gender tests, you know, the chromosomes thing, you know, this XY, I mean, I'm not going to biology, but this whole gender test, they failed it just even last year in the competition qualifiers and all that. And yet, you have these people in this Olympic Games, supposed female category, and you have men acting as women. And when they beat the women and they qualify, progress, and the way it's going, by all means, they are going to get the gold in their various categories. I mean, and their hands will be lifted, gold medal. I mean, who are we deceiving? But the issue is the message they are pushing, is the agenda they are pushing. And that's the world we are in, where insanity. I'm not surprised by some of these things, because I remember one man of God said something. I mean, one of the prophetic warnings for the year, and things are coming to pass based on the things he said and all that. But one that is quite serious along these lines is there's like a certain wind of lunacy, like spirit of madness, quote unquote madness, lunatic spirit. It's moving across the world. I mean, where we will hear and see things which makes no sense, and yet it will be justified, you know. And some of these things, I mean, things which you ask yourself, where is the world going? What is happening in this world? It's like everybody knows that this is supposed to be white, and yet you see people saying that this is black, believe it is black, even though you are seen as white, but they will tell you it is black. You believe it. And when you insist it is white, they say you are being like hate speech, just like the Olympic organizers are saying. Everybody knows this doesn't make sense. And yet those who say it doesn't make sense, now they are rather being called names. That's the world we are in. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. We are going to see more outrageous things, hear outrageous things in the world, in various quarters, because there's a spirit that is moving the world along these lines of, you know, things that doesn't make sense. But that's why when I get to the issues of prayer, like I'll be talking a bit more about such. The next one, Erdogan, Turkish president, threatens Israel, and he said, like we entered Karabakh and Libya, we'll do same to Israel. So Jerusalem and Ankara traded sharp barbs on Sunday. This was last Sunday, with President Recep Tayyip Erdogan seeming to threaten military action against Israel as tensions heated between the Jewish state and the Iranian proxy group Hezbollah. Israel, in turn, warned that Erdogan's feat could become akin to that of former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein, who was executed by hanging. Erdogan is following in the footsteps of Saddam Hussein by threatening to attack Israel. He should remember what happened there and how it ended. Israel's foreign minister, Israel Katz wrote in a post on X, in which he linked a photograph of Erdogan and Hussein. The Turkish Foreign Ministry on Monday compared Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to the World War II German Nazi dictator Adolf Hitler in a post on X. Just as genocidal Hitler ended, so will genocidal Netanyahu, the post stated. But this was on Sunday, as I read. But then, in the course of the week, there was a big issue in which Mossad allegedly hired Iranian agents to plant explosives in Ismail Haniyeh's Tehran room, according to a report that has come out. So this was, you know, the Hamas big man who was killed in Tehran this week. And that is a whole big issue now. So Mossad allegedly or reportedly hired Iranian security agents to plant explosives in rooms where Ismail Haniyeh, former leader of Hamas, okay, he's now dead, so former, okay, was staying. The UK-based newspaper The Telegraph reported on Saturday, that's today. The Telegraph cited two Iranian officials in their report. According to the report, the original plan was to assassinate Haniyeh when he visited Iran to attend the funeral of former Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi in May. However, the operation was not executed due to the large chance of failure and the large crowds inside the building, according to the Iranian officials who told Telegraph. The reporting noted that two agents placed explosive devices in three rooms in the guest house frequented by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. Haniyeh was also reported to be a frequent guest of this location. Iranian officials allegedly have CCTV footage of the building and stated that agents were seen moving stealthily and entering and exiting several rooms in the span of a few minutes. The Telegraph reported that the agents left the country but maintained a close source in Iran. They detonated the explosives from abroad last week, killing Haniyeh. An Iranian Revolutionary Guard official told the Telegraph, quote, "They are not certain that Mossad hired the agents from the Ansar al-Mahdi Protection Unit," unquote, the RGC unit responsible for protecting high-ranking officials. Upon further investigation, they discovered additional explosive devices in other two rooms, the IRGC official told the Telegraph. So this attack and killing has really triggered a whole big issue in the Middle East now, because Iran met their top leader Ayatollah and the security chiefs met, and Ayatollah has given the go-ahead that they can attack Israel directly. As to how the attack is going to happen, that is now what is making the tension in the Middle East something. So we have the Houthi leader, the Yemen proxy for Iran. Their leader says we will be part of the Iranian response. And Iranian allies are planning. So they are looking at having a multi-directional attack. So those in Syria, those in Lebanon, the Iran itself, those in Yemen. So all angles. And that is what Israel is waiting and preparing, waiting as to the magnitude of the missiles that will come, how many and all that. But US is sending aircraft carrier, warships and fighter squadron to Middle East as a region braces for Iranian retaliation. So US is sending a carrier strike group, fighter squadron and additional warships to the Middle East as the region braces for an Iranian retaliation to the killing of senior Hamas leader in Tehran earlier this week. It is perhaps the largest movement of U.S. forces to the region since the early days of the Gaza War, when the Pentagon sent two carrier strike groups towards the Middle East in a very public warning to regional militant groups not to expand the fighting. Israel says it is ready for a range of scenarios following the assassination of Ismail Haniyeh in Iran. Israelis have been stocking up supplies, airlines have cancelled flights, and travel warnings are in place with the region on alert for an Iranian response. We've heard the Supreme Leader loud and clear that the intention that he intends to avenge this killing of a Hamas leader in Tehran, and that they want to conduct another attack on Israel. John Kirby, the Strategic Communications Coordinator for the National Security Council, told CNN, "We can't just assume that we are always potentially going to be victims of that kind of attack. So we've got to make sure we've got the right resources and capabilities in the region." On Friday, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin ordered the USS Abraham Lincoln Strike Group to replace the USS Theodore Roosevelt Strike Group, which is currently operating in the Gulf of Oman, according to a statement from the Pentagon Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh. In addition, destroyers and cruisers capable of ballistic missile defense will also be sent to the Middle East and the Mediterranean Sea. The statement does not say which warships have been sent, but two U.S. destroyers in the Eastern Mediterranean Sea took part in intercepting the barrage of strikes Iran launched against Israel in April. Austin also ordered the deployment of a fighter squadron to the region, according to Singh. Okay, then we have the next news that says Defense Commission finds the U.S. isn't prepared for potential global war as China and Russia alliance grows. So the United States would need to increase its defense spending to Cold War era levels to challenge threats according to the world, around the world, as China, Russia, and North Korea and Iran foster an alliance that could lead to global war, according to a congressional commission formed to examine the national defense strategy. Quote, "Where this goes, it seems to me, is terrifying. That is, again, why we need to leverage all elements of national power to make sure we deter these countries from acting against us," unquote. Jane Hammond, chairman of the Commission on National Defense Strategy, said Tuesday during a hearing before the Senate Armed Services Committee. The commission recommended in a 132-page report released Monday that the U.S. overhaul its national defense strategy and $900 million defense budget to address recruiting failures, a grossly inadequate industrial base, and underfunded cyber and space domains. The commission was tasked by Congress with analyzing the 2022 defense strategy, which was written prior to Russia's 2022 invasion of Ukraine and the evolution of the strategic partnerships between Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. So, America, anyway, that's their own reports to deal with. Okay, so this next news, China's persecution keeps going on. There's no end in sight. So, China sentences Christian elder to 5 years in prison. A court in Guiyang, the capital of Guizhou province in China, has sentenced Elder Zhang Chunei of a house church to 5 years in prison for subversion of state power and fraud. Normally, when they say fraud, I mean, these are all trumped up charges that they find just to keep these church leaders in prison. The sentencing occurred in a closely regulated proceeding that limited public attendance. The Guiyang Intermediate People's Court sentenced Zhang of the Guiyang Rainey Reformed Church, who suffers from liver cirrhosis on 24th July, according to the UK-based group Christian Solidarity Worldwide in a statement this week. And it goes on and on. You know, China is something else. I mean, the persecution of the Christians is almost all the time. But they are not deterred. There are some who they go to the prison, they come back, they are sentenced again, they go and come. And they are just used to it. And they have the strength to really and the grace to endure these persecutions that they face there. All right, then this one says, Christian politician abducted during church Bible study shooting. and 2 killed. That's in Nigeria. So gunmen in southern Nigeria on Tuesday kidnapped a prominent Christian woman and wife of the Attorney General of Delta State from a church building during a Bible study. These people. So in the world, according to the World Watch List 2024, of the countries where it is most difficult to be a Christian, Nigeria was ranked number 6, as it was in the previous year. Nigeria remained the deadliest place in the world to follow Christ, with 4,118 people killed for their faith from October 1st, 2022 to September 30th, 2023, according to the Open Doors 2024 World Watch List report. More kidnappings of Christians than in any other country also took place in Nigeria, with the number being 3,300. Nigeria was also the third highest country in number of attacks on churches and other Christian buildings, such as hospitals, schools, and cemeteries, with 750 cases, according to the report. So this is it. And you know, when you hear some of these reports, some think, oh, it's far from us, it cannot be. We love Ghanaians, we love each other, and all that. You know, we should never be deceived. Never be deceived. You know, these are spiritual things. So it's not about, spirits don't care about nationality. They don't care about Ghana, or they don't care about Nigeria. Demons don't care about nationality. When they take over someone, they take over a system. I mean, they act. So it's not about a nation. It's not about a type of tribe or something. So these are the things which should make believers be aware of the spiritual implications of persecution and all that. So when we talk about this persecution in various countries, we should never classify it as if, oh, it can never happen here. No. We shouldn't be deceived. All right, the program is Issues of Life. I'll be back after this break. Okay, this song by CC Finance from a new album as well.
This is not the way the story ends. No matter what it looks like, your love will. Even when my world is shaking, one thing is for sure, that the cross still stands, and the blood still speaks, and the grave still empty. Jesus, I believe. You've already overcome. You've already won it all. The victory belongs to you. It's too late to lose. You've already made a way. There is
Flight 719er, this is the tower. You are clear to land.
Tower, we'd have to go way out of our way to get to the airport. We're already lined up with this great golf course. It looks pretty nice. Can we land there instead?
Flight 719er, did you say golf course?
Oh, wait! How about the new parking lot? Can we land there?
Some people want to believe that there are many ways to heaven. Yet the Bible, in talking about Jesus, clearly states there is only one name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved.
719er, you are aware that you're flying a 747 jumbo jet. The only safe place to land is the airport.
I think you should be more open-minded about this. A bunch of us were talking and we were thinking about maybe landing on the interstate. I mean, you know, we'd be a lot closer to hotels and everything. Okay, Tower?
Just like the tower, the Bible is guiding us to the only option we have available. Will you turn to Jesus? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Hey, Bob, you want to turn down the stereo? I'm going to go to my room and pray for a while.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, Lord, all I want to do is please you. Just let me know what it is you would have me do, Lord.
Hey, Frank, Ed's here and he needs some old clothes for the mission. You want to give him your old leather jacket?
No way. I can get $20 for that easy.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, Lord, your will is all I want. Just lead me and I will follow.
Ed's also helping with the food drive at church, wants to know if you can help.
Hey, stacking lima beans all weekend is not my idea of excitement.
Okay, I'll tell him you'll be busy.
Fine. Oh, Lord, I just want to do great things for you.
Hey, Frank, Dugan just called. He got kicked out of his dorm and needs a place to stay. Can he stay here for the night?
No way, man. Dugan's a hog. Tell him to call Ed.
Okay.
Oh, Lord, anything you want, just tell me.
Prayer. It's more than just talking to God. Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Okay, we'll come back to... that's interesting. Interesting one. Okay, all right. So the program, Issues of Life, the station, Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. So we have about 30 minutes to go, almost to 9. Yeah, so as I said, we'll be talking a bit about prayer, the need to pray, because, you see, the world, if you look at the state of the world, believers should have a better understanding of the times we are in than the unbeliever. And the reason why God gives his children advance notice in some of these things regarding what to do and what to pray and how to pray and all that is because he doesn't want his children to be in the dark, so or to be caught unawares and all that. It's unfortunate that we've had a season, we are in a season where there's a lot of falsehood. So there are believers who don't believe the words of prophets again. It's like they lump all prophets into the same containers. Like there's nobody talking for God again. Nobody's hearing from God again. Everybody is lying. Everybody is just a fake. Everybody, you know, I mean, see, the fact that they are fake means they are fake ones means that they are genuine. See, because the fake always try to imitate what is the correct or the genuine ones. So clearly, the fact that you are not hearing someone saying what is right does not mean God is not talking. And so, see, God has been giving his children advance times, like knowledge of the times, that, you know, already the Bible gives us clear understanding of times that things that the world will be seeing. But when it comes to specifics in terms of like in the year, what should the believers expect in the year, things happening and all that, there are things which beginning of the year or from last year Sam said, which is unfolding just as was said. So clearly it means we one will have to pay a bit more attention to some of these things. And one of, or some of these things are regarding the state of wars, the world entering into a state of wars from this month onwards, like the second half especially, but like from August going, the world is more into the state of wars in various ways, more of demonstrations, protests in the world. I mean, not every country, but like more of chaos in various places, here, there. You hear this riots in this country, protests here, and all that. So when you start seeing these things, you know, this week alone, you know, UK, there was this protests, some children were killed, so there was this wild protests in one of the cities, which country, I've forgotten the city, but it's, so then you have the Nigerian one ongoing, Venezuela ongoing, you know, so see, these are little things, but you see, when you are told that something like this is coming, but pray about it. There's a reason why God says pray about it, because for us, let's say, we are in Ghana, so let's talk about Ghana, for instance. We need to pray for this nation. We need to pray for this nation. I mean, we will deceive ourselves to think this country is, I mean, it's well, it's doing well. We all know the country is very sick. This country is very, very, very sick. And believers have a duty to pray for this nation. We have a duty to pray. You know, the word of God even instructs us to pray for our leaders. It's a bit unfortunate that these days, you know, if you dare talk about praying for our leaders, it's like, I remember one pastor said, when that was, I think, before, some few years ago, before one of the elections, before the 2020 elections, you know, when you say pray for, people are praying, praying for other things. As soon as you say, let's pray for Ghana, pray for the president, then the voices voices go down, the zeal goes down, the vim, actually, people are busy praying. No, no, now it's like, this one too, what is this topic? You know, people just lose interest completely. And the attitude and their facial expressions, everything shows that actually they are not ready to pray. But you see, if we don't pray, then the nation, you see, the issue we have to understand is, as human beings, we are spirit beings, yes, but the states, every state is also a spiritual being, in terms of there are angels assigned to states. Obviously, that means the devil is also interested in states, in nations, in communities, in towns, in cities, and all. So it's not as a physical infrastructure, cities, skyscrapers, dual carriage roads, interchanges. That's just the physical aspect of a city or a town, whatever that you see. But in the spiritual realm, there are also entities assigned to the community, the city, the town. So it behoves on the Christians in that place, be it a country, city, town, to rise up in prayer, to be able to sustain good things, to be able to withstand bad things, to be able to change things. When prayer ceases from the believers in any community, any country, any city, any town, the devil gets an advantage. You see, so to some extent, you know, it's debatable. Some will debate about these things and all. But you see, someone said it once, and I'm forced to believe and agree, because you see, the state of this nation can be blamed on the believers, on we Christians, because we've not prayed enough. We've not done our watchman duties enough as believers. So whilst we slept, whilst men slept, the devil came in to sow tares. That's the state of this nation, and that's the state of a lot of nations. Because believers are refusing to pray, the devil is having a field day and doing anything and whatever they want freely. So, see, we have to pray for this nation. We need to pray for this nation, because we are in the nation. I mean, this is where we are. This is our country. So if we say we will not pray for this country, who should pray for the country for us? And see, it is a grave mistake to wait till things happen before we now start rushing and organizing all nights, and then, you know, prayer meetings and all around the place. We shouldn't wait till things unfold before we start praying. See, it's easier to resist the enemy before he strikes, and not wait till he has done his activities and it's unfolding before you now want to stop.
you need more effort in stopping him at that moment than when you were before he did the attack. You see, so these are the times we need to pray for this nation. These are the times we need to pray for this nation. See, we it's not about, as believers, our assignment to pray for the nation and our duty and our call to duty to pray for the nation is not about being partisan. It's not about party colors. That's none of, I mean, it's not a part of our assignment. Our assignment is we are to pray for the nation. So irrespective of whoever is there, we are supposed to pray. It's unfortunate that as a country, our politics has affected us in a very negative way. Our democracy, let me put it that way. It's affected us in a very negative way to the point where it's made us too partisan in anything national. Like anything about the nation, if you are talking about it, you are being looked at. People are, okay, what are you going to say? If you say it a little to this side, you are here. If you say it a little to that side, you are there. You know, so it's made, even pastors are afraid to talk about some things now because as soon as you say it, hey, they tag you, people will tag you, you are this, you are that, and all that. But, I mean, it's made this country very, it's affected us. It has affected us because it's making us fear to even be objective on national issues. So it's like people don't want to see anything again. If you say it, people will tag you. If you say that, people will tag you. You say those. But as believers, we should pray for this nation. We are praying for the nation as believers. It's our duty and it is a must that we do it. It's in our own interest. So that is one point to pray about seriously as believers. The second thing we should be praying about is for our children. There's a grand scheme that enemy is really pushing against children, and it's important we pray more for our children than ever before. It's unfortunate that sometimes, you know, some parents are more concerned about material provisions and it ends there. So yes, they'll pay the fees, provide clothing, provide it, I mean, whatever need for the children. But the spiritual aspect, little time is spent in praying for them. But it is high time we prioritize our prayer to be more, we should be more serious with praying for our children, our families. I mean, the family itself, praying for ourselves, like praying for the family, because marriages are under attack and children, the devil is really attacking, seeking to attack the children with all this madness I'm talking about. I'm not talking of like, you know, psychiatric madness as in people are mad on the street type of thing, but the level, the type of madness that we are seeing in this generation amongst unbelievers, where people like dressing, you know, you see people making want to look like things which, or people which, you know, you look like, this is not decent. People want to be untidy. They want to, because they are following some, you know, influencers, as they call it. So celebrities are influencing them. And these celebrities are projecting spirits. They are projecting serious, serious, serious spirits. And it's affecting this generation. You know, you look at the way a lot of the youth, who are largely not in the church per se, but the youth around, look at the way their hairstyles, and you can just point to some one, two, three celebrities. They want to look like them. They want to look like them. So, you see, the influence is very strong. The influence is very strong. So we have a duty to pray for our children as believers. Aside talking to them on these things and all that, it's a spiritual warfare. It's a serious spiritual warfare that a lot of people are ignoring. But we need to pray for our children, secure them from this spiritual madness that is affecting the world. So they want to look, suddenly boys want to look like girls. They want to braid their hair like girls. They want to, you know. And you ask yourself, where from this suddenly? What has happened that suddenly boys want to look like girls? You know? But it starts from somewhere. You know, so you see, this whole transgender thing, it's in phases. So ask yourself, how come suddenly a lot of guys want to be feminine? They want to look like. And one way of looking like is start from the hair, you know, hairdo. So suddenly a lot of guys want to look like their ladies, so they braid their hair, they want to, you know. But people are not paying attention to these things. But these are serious issues. And parents, Christian parents, should be aware of these things and guard their homes, guard their families from this spiritual madness that is blowing over the world. You see, because yesterday my wife and I were discussing this thing, and she was referring to someone's son that, like, she saw the picture, and a little child, and the hairdo that they've made for this boy. I was saying that, why? I mean, but you see, some parents are even the contributing factor. They started for the child, because I don't believe a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old has a preference in the hairstyle the boy wants to. When he goes to Baba, I want this style. Parents should, I mean, how? Why should you allow a 3-year-old boy to have hair braided like a girl? So you look at the boy and the boy is like a girl. It starts from somewhere. And you see, this is where ignorance comes in. So people are ignorant, thinking it's just fashion, everybody's doing it. But you see, when there's a spirit behind something, you would follow it blindly, but not knowing the consequences thereof. And that is where we are now, where people should be careful about just following things blindly. So it may look like everybody is doing it. It's fashion, everybody is doing it. But no, Christian parents should set up and protect their families. And it's not just about don't do type of thing. It should be battled in prayer, secure their minds in prayer. Because it's the forces behind these things, is what is influencing them. So they look at the role models and they feel like, I want to also look like this person. So these are all things your parents should be paying attention to. The songs they listen to begins to influence them. They look at the person, I want to be like, I want to do this, I want to, then they start. You see, so all these things, Christian homes are virtually, I know people, some, not all of course, but we have to guard our Christian homes and ensure that the Christian values and the Holy Spirit, is the home is secured from all necessary external attacks flowing, I mean, all over the place and all that. We should protect our families, secure our families through prayer. And it's important, because if we fail to do this, we would look back one day and say that, where did we go wrong? But then the harm may have been caused already. Now, the third major thing we should, as believers, be doing is praying for our church leaders, our pastors. There's a serious attack against the body of Christ. Leaders, strike the sheep, strike the shepherd, sorry, and the sheep will scatter. And it's very worrying, because you can see there's a wave of a certain type of, you know, apathy, lukewarmness blowing over the church. People are not too zealous again in spiritual things. Pastors are, not all, of course, but the issue is, there is a time for everything, as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So when you have leaders who are not abreast with the times, it becomes a big problem, because if you are not abreast with the times as a spiritual leader, your followers are in trouble, because then you are on your own. You are, whatever you are teaching, whatever you are preaching, is out of season. It's not what God wants you to teach them and preach to them. You see, the timing is important. In the spiritual realm, timing is critical. So if there's a season for something, there's a time for something, And then season and the time comes and you miss it. You don't know that this is the season for this and season for that. So now is the time to do this. Now is the time not to do that and all that. Then you miss it. So it's important, people, we pray for our pastors, because it's one person, it's better to have people backing you up in prayer, because the spiritual realm is a whole complex thing. And the attacks are many on church leaders. So they need, now even a lot of churches, prayer tower cries, like they don't even exist again. But this is even the time where prayer is even needed more than ever before. You see, the devil has been able to successfully neutralize some churches and leaders to the point where we are not paying attention to very critical things again. By so doing, we are losing our guard. So we are lightening. We are not really paying attention to things, and we are taking things on a light note and all that. But it's time people step up and start praying for their leaders, their pastors. Start praying for them seriously. Because you see, if they get it wrong, the church gets it wrong. If a leader gets it wrong, the church gets it wrong. Because the leader is the one leading, the spiritual leader of the church. So we are going this way. But if God says go to the left, and the leader is not in tune with the Holy Spirit, is not in season, and he says, I want to go to right, because everybody seems to be doing what is at the right. People are going to the right, so let me also go there. When God expects you to be at the left and you are going to the right, you've missed it. In essence, when you meet in church, it's just a social gathering, because the presence of the Lord is not there. He says, go to the left. He says, I'll go to the right. So what is he come to do again at the right? You're on your own. Do what you want to do. Because you say you want to go there. Okay, do your thing. Because he says, go here. And you say, no, I won't go. You see, so that's why we need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. Spiritual leadership, we need to pray for them. We need to back them up in prayer. Seriously. You know, these are things we can do in our closet without anybody knowing you are praying for your pastor. It's between you and God. You see, these are not things that you do it to get like praises of men. Hey, pastor, I'm praying for you. I'm going to dedicate myself to pray. I mean, you don't need to go and tell him and announce everybody that I'm praying for pastor, so they should clap for you. No. These are not things you use to just get praises from men. These are things you commit yourself to do, and God sees it and God rewards accordingly. And it's important to do so. And the fourth and the final is, see, there has to be a revival, and there's going to be a revival. But see, if the church itself is not ready for a revival, how can the revival come? And you see, that's why we also have to be praying about it. You see, because if we don't pray about it, we cannot be ready for it. We will not be interested in it. So that is why a revival may hit, and then it's like, instead of many being beneficiaries of it, realize just few will benefit from it. But that is not how it should supposed to be. But if the church refuses to step up its role in praying and being prepared for these things, we can still miss a season. And that's why we should be alert about these spiritual timings. The times we are in warrants that we pray for these things. We pray for these things. Pray for ourselves. Of course, in praying for all these things we've talked about, we have to pray for ourselves that we are not deceived. We've talked about deception for about 13 weeks and all that. We need to pray for ourselves, because the season we are in is a cold, spiritually cold season. So you realize people are struggling to pray. A lot of believers' prayer lives are almost dead. You see, so if you don't really revive yourself to pray, you may struggle to pray. But the time when, you know, someone made a statement some time back that when it is most difficult to pray, that is even when you have to pray. Because when you don't really feel like praying, that means in the spiritual realm, you need to be praying. So that is when you need to pray. When it is
more difficult, most difficult to pray, that is even the time when you should be praying. And we should encourage ourselves into prayer more than ever before, because the season demands that we become alert spiritually. We need to wake up ourselves. We need to arise from our laziness, for the slumber. You know, Jesus put it clearly, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. You know, Mark 14:38. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. It's important we watch and pray, because, you know, if you don't watch and pray, you become a prey to the enemy, as I said. If you don't watch and pray, you become a prey to the enemy. The enemy gets a free hold over your life, over your family, over the church. If a church that doesn't pray is a prey to the enemy, the devil just plays games freely in the church, witches do free operations in the church without anybody stopping them because there's no prayer in the church. So we need to step up prayer in this season that we are in. Because spiritually, the season is not good. Let's put it bluntly. Let's say it as it is. The season we've entered spiritually is not a good season. And as believers, we should wake up and pray. We should not be ignorant of the devil's devices. We should arise in prayer. You see, this is where the enemy is distracting us with all sorts of things. So instead of believers praying, we are being distracted. Social media is distracting us. Entertainment is distracting us. Sports is distracting us. So many things are distracting us. So we don't have time for the important things. And prayer is one important thing we cannot relegate to the background. We should prioritize prayer ahead of a lot of things in our daily schedules. We should prioritize prayer ahead of a lot of things in our daily schedules, because the season demands that we become prayerful. And it's important, because as I said, there's a time for everything, and now is the time to pray. So this evening's edition is more of an encouragement, encouraging you to arise and pray, because the season is calling for prayer. Praying for the nation, praying for our families, our children, praying for our spiritual leaders, praying for the church. We need it. The nation needs it. The nation's prayer is very important, because you see, this election is the most important election in Ghana's history. The spiritually discerning and spiritually understanding, those who understand spiritual things and are discerning, would understand what I'm saying. This election is the most important election in Ghana's history, because the spiritual dynamics involved makes it the most important election ever in this country's history. It's unfortunate that when you hear what some pastors are even saying, it breaks your heart. It's sad. It's serious. So it means that the church itself, the church needs serious prayer. The country needs prayer. The church needs prayer. Because if the church cannot even see the spiritual season we are in, then the country is in trouble. Oh, yes. But all hope is not lost. It's not every church that is spiritually blind. It's not every pastor that is spiritually blind. It's not every believer that is spiritually blind. There are a lot of believers and pastors and churches that are spiritually awake. So those who are awake should arise and pray. And that is the essence of the call to prayer. So I believe these few things we've discussed will help you to, you know, understand the importance and the seriousness of the times and start praying. So thank you for tuning in, and I believe you've been blessed. This is recorded. It will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and to the Telegram group as well. Okay, a few messages. Okay, you will respond to them. All right, so God bless you. Good night.
You're listening to the
great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfm.com.